In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. This is a very special season that we look forward to every single year, especially when we get together with our brothers and sisters across the entire city of Ottawa and pray these Orthodox vespers. We owe a special thank you to the Lord our God for the fact that He has allowed that one of us always takes the lead on it. So Father Nectario, specifically, thank you for always making sure to reach out to us and to allow us to pray together. Today, for many of you who have never attended what just happened today, you just got to witness like the full program of what it looks like to be able to do the veneration of the relics of the saints in the Coptic Orthodox Church. Today happens to be the eve of a great, great saint that is very dear to the hearts of many, a contemporary saint by the name of Saint Pope Kyrillos VI. And today, because he happens to be extremely close in relationship and best friends with Saint Mina the Wonder Worker, who is a 4th century saint, we happen to also venerate the both of them together because of how intimately there is a beautiful friendship there between them. And because today also happens to be the eve of the celebration of one of the feasts of Saint John the Forerunner, and this church specifically happens to have the relics of St. John the Forerunner here, you got to witness the veneration and the aromatization of St. John the Forerunner, St. Mina the Wonder Worker, and St. Pope Kyrillos VI. Lent happens to be one of those seasons where the saints are extremely close to the church. And unfortunately for many, because of the narrative that exists in North America specifically, among specific groups of Christians, we sometimes forget the importance that the kingdom of God plays when it comes to allowing the saints to participate in the journey of the Orthodox believer. There is no church without the saints, because all of us are members in the body of Christ. We don't believe in this whole idea of a separation between us and the church that stands before the throne of God. We and those who are in the kingdom are one. We are all members of the same body. And so the same way that you might turn around and ask one of your fellow believers and brothers and sisters in Christ to pray for you, we're constantly crying out to the saints and asking them to remember us before the throne of God. So today we happen to be receiving a very special blessing in the fact that we get to celebrate the eve of the Feast of Pope Kyrillos. And if you'll allow me, I want us to reflect on his life so you can understand what the message of the Holy Spirit is today for those of us who are going through the journey of Lent. Pope Kyrillos is especially known for the fact that he is a man of prayer and he is a wonder worker. But what many people do not talk about is the fact that this man has undergone an extreme amount of suffering, even within his own church. Pope Kyrillos was born on the cusp of the 20th century in 1902, and he was elected to be the Patriarch of the Coptic Orthodox Church in 1958, and he passes away in 1971. He sits on the throne of St. Mark as the Patriarch for those 11 or 12 years. And in the beginning of that period, he faced an incredible amount of struggle. And the church that he received was a very broken church. It's fun to talk about the saints and the supernatural and the miracle workings that they do. But for those of us who want to be able to truly learn and be inspired from the saints, we also have to learn from their suffering. It's not enough for us to only look at them as those who perform miracles. The saints are not a divine vending machine that you get to put a quarter in and then tell them that you want something from them. There are also those that we look towards to be inspired as they go through the process of suffering in their own churches. And the reason why I think it's especially important for us to reflect on Pope Kyrillos specifically today is because his suffering was great, which makes his holiness and his pursuit of righteousness that much more profound. Now, you're going to hear me say the word Pope over and over again. For the record, Alexandria was using the word Pope long before Rome ever adopted it. Just to be clear, the word Papa, Abba, was being used in Alexandria ever since the 2nd century, long before it was used by the Latin church, by our brothers and sisters who are Catholic. Pope Kyrillos, when he was ordained to be the Patriarch, the church that was handed to him divinely was a church that was completely broken. I can sincerely say that for those of us who study the history of the Coptic Orthodox Church, Christianity in Egypt, Egypt was on the cusp of losing all of its faith. Clergy and the establishment of churches and those who were keeping the traditions of the church were slowly dwindling away. This man participated in a reform that without Pope Kyrillos, I'm not sure we would have the vibrancy that we see today in the Coptic Orthodox Church. I'm not sure we would have the tens, if not 15s and 20s of millions of Christians in Egypt today. Pokrolos was known to be a man of prayer because he truly believed in the efficacy of the divine liturgy. There's not a single day that he did not pray the liturgy. And you have to understand, this is scandalous for a patriarch. One of the reasons the people would stand against Pope Kyrillus is because he loved to pray the liturgy every single day. And those who elected him, who nominated him to be among one of three, rejected the fact that he was appointed because they said, if the man wants to pray, then stay a monk. Why be a patriarch? We need someone who is going to meet with the authorities. We need someone who is going to teach us. We need someone who is going to help us have a revolution in Egypt, regain our rights, speak on behalf of Christians, not a man who wants to hide away in his cell and pray liturgies. The people thought they knew what they needed. And little do they know, they needed that monk who desired to pray a liturgy every single day. You can understand this, I'm sure. Even our own bishops today, who are responsible for our diocese, they do not have the luxury of being able to pray a liturgy every single day. They have many administrative and pastoral things that they must take care of. They have lineups of people who are waiting for answers. And yet this man, until he died, even while patriarch, prayed the liturgy every single day, even if he had to pray that liturgy in a cathedral that only had a few people standing in it. I want you to try to imagine the scandal. The scandal of the patriarch praying a liturgy and nobody would show up in revolt. Let me tell you what kind of man he was. In the Coptic tradition, the patriarch of Alexandria is also the diocesan bishop of Cairo and Alexandria, which means that he also has responsibilities pastorally over those areas. And there was 12 priests who believed themselves to be very learned men who secretly were passing around pamphlets and writing against him constantly, viciously, talking about how it is that the kingdom of God must have made a mistake in electing him. You have to understand, in the Coptic Orthodox rite, the patriarch is appointed through altar ballot, which means the church is responsible to nominate 12, and then they bring it down to three who are selected, and then finally those three, their names are placed at the altar, a specific liturgy is played, and then afterwards, one of the metropolitans of the church will pull an altar ballot, and the name that comes out is believed to have been selected by the Holy Spirit. When that name came out, people were upset. He wasn't a revolutionary. He wasn't going to help rebel against the government. He was a man who believed in prayer and the power of prayer. And so these 12 priests decided that they would lobby against him, turn the people against him. And then one day, as they were staying up late and writing all of these pamphlets and printing them at a print shop, the printing machine completely shut down and they couldn't explain what happened. So one of the priests who's there and who's participating in this feels a certain level of remorse. His conscience begins to kick in. And so he thinks, this can't be right. This can't be right. The Lord cannot possibly be pleased that we're doing this against our patriarch. So he decides to go see His Holiness at the cathedral. And the Pope receives him with a tremendous amount of joy and grace. And as he receives him, he welcomes him. And he tells him, Your Holiness, Sayyidina, please absolve me because I have sinned against you. And His Holiness smiles at him and he looks at him and he goes, I know. It must be tiring staying up 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, all of these weeks, these months where all of you have been writing, you must be fatigued, my son. You must be tired. And all for what? What have we gained? The man looks at him and goes, how? You know? He says, of course I have known. He goes, and you didn't stop us? He says, why would I stop you? The Lord has granted you free will as He has granted me free will. You are free to do what you wish with it. He goes, but Sayyidina, you didn't think that it would be wise to do something to stop us, to send someone to us, to let us know that you know? He said, I did do something. I have been praying for you and the 11 by name every single day since the Lord has told me. I told him, would you absolve me, Your Holiness? He goes, with all of my heart, my son. With all of my heart, I absolve you. He goes, so what if I brought the other 11? Would you absolve them as well? He goes, with all of my heart, before they even arrive, I will absolve them. The patriarch of the church that we now celebrate as St. Pope Kyrillus was recognized to be a man of prayer because through his prayer, he managed to connect with God in a way where he saw the kingdom of God revealed. He didn't have to wait until his passing to see the glory of God. He was already in intimate, loving union with the God that he loved. And believe me when I tell you that the reason we speak about him tonight is not to remove the glory off of God, but so that we might be inspired by those who came before us and witnessed to us. There is no difference between us and Pope Kyrillos. Forgive me for even speaking in this way. There is no difference in the Holy Spirit that you have received in your baptism and chrismation and the Holy Spirit that was granted to the saints. The only difference is that a person like St. Pope Kyrillos actually believed in the power of the Spirit that was granted to him. I'm still on the fence, trying to figure out whether or not I actually believe what the Church tells me. He said yes to God. I'm still debating whether or not I'm going to offer everything. Pope Kyrillos was betrayed not only by his priests, but also by bishops who were around him. His own synod turned against him, and he would pray for them fervently until finally the Lord would grant him the ability to be able to demonstrate that he was truly a mystic. Now you understand, when the Church speaks of mystics in all of our traditions, it talks about those who have been granted the gift to be able to reveal the glory of God in the healing of the sick, in the casting out of demons, in the clairvoyance of being able to see into people's hearts and minds. And all of these things was revealed. And let me tell you an interesting thing, for what it's worth. He happens to be a contemporary of St. John of San Francisco. And he happens to be a contemporary at the same time of a well-known saint in the Catholic Church, Padre Pio. Let me tell you something that's interesting about these three contemporaries who lived all at the same time. All of them are considered mystics by their own local churches. All of them lived at a time where at the turning point of this 20th century, they were even, I'm not going to say persecuted, but they dealt with conflict even within their own church against them. All of them believed in the life-giving power of the Eucharist and how it is that they could not go a day without praying the Divine Liturgy. And every single one of them was compassionate and humble in spite of all of the crosses and the sufferings that they had to endure. Let me tell you a beautiful story between Pope Kyrillos and Narimina, the wonder worker. This is the same Saint Mina that many of you venerate in your own churches, in your own traditional calendars as well. Because he was so close to Saint Mina even before becoming the patriarch, they would often work together. Often. There's a beautiful story of a Coptic man who lived in the United States by the name of Dr. Hanna. This Dr. Hanna used to love with all of his heart Saint Mina the Wonder Worker. And so every year during the Feast of Narimina, he would intentionally go to Egypt and celebrate the feast there. And he would do everything in his power to support all of those who belonged to the parishes and to the churches and the monasteries of St. Mina. And one year when he was visiting Egypt, unfortunately, he was abducted. And he was falsely charged for acts of terrorism simply because he was a Christian. And you have to understand, in places like in the Middle East, if you're a Christian minority, they don't treat you so nicely. For 11 days, this man was tortured. And for 11 days, he would cry out to St. Mina. And he would tell him, please, please, I do not know if I have the capability of enduring this. I'm asking you to intervene. And he was there in Egypt to go celebrate the Feast of St. Mina. And after 11 days of being brutally tortured by the secret police in his underground prisons, he was released the day of the feast. So he goes to the monastery of St. Mina. And because Pope Kyrillos loves St. Mina with all his heart, he helped establish this beautiful monastery in Alexandria, near Alexandria, in Meirut, for St. Mina. And so the patriarch happens to be there when this is happening. When the man walks in, Pope Kyrillos is already aware of everything that happens, so he receives him while crying. And he tells him, don't be upset. The amount of those people who were in prisons and being tortured and were crying out to the kingdom were many. He got to you in time. He got to you and he saved your life. You were not supposed to be here today. Do not be upset with him. And the man, filled with emotion, especially because he was still bearing the signs of his torture, his back was filled with marks of whippings. Flesh is like hanging off of his back. He's still brutally bruised in the face after being beaten over and over. And so in an emotional outburst, he turns to the Pope and he tells him, which is basically an Arabic saying for being able to say what? Would you have allowed for this? Would you have tolerated this? And he lifts his shirt and he shows him the state of his back that was whipped. And it's Dr. Hanna who says that in that moment, Pope Kyrillos broke down. And he took him and he brought him to the icon that was right there at the relics of St. Mina. And he would take from the oil of the lamp that was lit in front of the relics. And he began to slowly rub them into the wounds. And the man says, after a while, after a minute or so, I told the patriarch to stop crying. I didn't mean to upset you. And Pope Kyrillos was just whispering prayers as if he's speaking to someone the entire time. And he continues to rub them in, and now 3 or 4 minutes have passed. You have to understand, like 3 or 4 minutes is a long time. 3 or 4 minutes of silence while this man is rubbing his back with this oil that he's taking from a lamp. He says he must have stood there for over 15 minutes praying, rubbing this oil in my back until finally he let go of a sigh while crying and saying, there you go. He has restored you entirely anew. Every single one of the scar marks remained, but all of the flesh was healed on the spot. Pope Kyrillos is not someone that we celebrate because he does the supernatural. And let me tell you, he is very active until today. I personally owe him a great deal of gratitude for the lessons he has taught me in my life. We have the benefit of having Abuna Shnuda here with us. Abuna Shnuda has pictures with him because Abuna Shnuda was there when he was the patriarch. This is a person that many of us have experienced at some point or another. And you know as well as I do, the saints are very active in our churches until today. Why? So that the Lord may constantly leave his fingerprint to let us know you belong to a church that continues to produce saints. And one of the things, one of the beautiful marks that Orthodoxy leaves on the entire world is what? That saints are still being produced every single day. And saints are being produced that we don't know of even now. This Lenten journey that we are going on is an invitation for us not to become like the saints. Please do not make that mistake. You are not called to become like the saints. You are to become like the one whom the saints loved and worshipped. Our calling is not to look at Baba Kyrillos and say, I want to be like him. To look at St. John the Wonder Worker and say, I want to be like him. It's to look at the ones that they had their eyes on. You and I are called to become like him who is the express image of the Father. We are called to become like the Logos incarnate himself, our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you and I can be inspired by the saints to do that, then maybe you and I would be able to follow in their footsteps. They have no intention of telling us, follow me. They always point to him. They always point to him. So during this Lenten season, as you go about carrying your cross faithfully, as you go about offering your fast, your abstinence, your prayers, be inspired by the saints who surround you and who love you. But keep your eyes on Christ, whom you are solely trying to grow in his image and likeness. And may the one who has called us to be saints, for the sake of the kingdom and for the sake of the world, allow us to be able to partake of the crowns and the glory he has given to the saints who have already preceded us. I want to tell you, for those of you who have asked, there's a beautiful biography of St. Pope Kyrillos that was actually published by St. Vladimir Seminary. It's called The Sion Patriarch. For those of you who want to see how God is capable of resurrecting an entire church through the humility and the prayers and the love and the sacrifice of a single man, this is a beautiful biography that I recommend for many of you. May his prayers and supplications always be for us and with us. And may the Lord of glory himself call us to be able to participate in the same things that he has called the saints to participate in. And to God be all glory, now and forever and unto the ages of all ages. Amen.